sounds like Chris when you said Chris.
Ah, praise the Lord. 297, let's stand. If you're able. We may have to pick another one. Yeah.
120.
294? Oh, sorry, Deb. 194.
Sorry, Alan.
We're a little shaky on that.
I know what. That's cool.
She just had. Oh yeah, she'd get it.
I don't know this one.
You don't know this one?
194.
197, I thought.
Don't know it. Don't know it. How about right across the page? 193. That one we all know. We better. We got to take advantage of this piano player while we got her. 193.
Oh, yeah.
Babe. Kneel at the cross. Christ will make you there. Come while he waits for you. Listen to his voice, say with him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. There is room for all who would this glory share. Bliss there awaits, locked in every hope, those who are anchored there. Near at the cross, leave every care, near at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Jesus fed your cup, drink from the fount of love. Bliss there awaits in the heavenly home, for the sake of love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Look up to friends above. Turn not away, but trust fully in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. Oh, what a blessing tonight to have that piano ringing like that. Sounds terrific. Folks, as Pastor Byard makes his way to the pulpit, keep in mind that we will be taking a love offering after the message tonight. Praise the Lord. Brother?
Amen, brother.
Glory to God for you.
All right. Good to be here. See y'all again. Appreciate your regular support for us too. That's always a blessing. Thank God for that. It does make a big difference, so we appreciate it very much. Good to be back. Amen. I like New Hampshire. Not sure I'd want to live here anymore. It's getting pretty intense. They've moved the city around quite a bit. Seems a lot of different things going on. Don't get lost in it, but we were on one road. Street basically just looked like suddenly everybody's here. Is this place grown? Because this seemed like there was a lot more folks than we were last year.
Oh, yeah.
That's wild, huh? Most places we go aren't growing.
Illegals.
Well, I heard a lot of languages I didn't understand, so I don't know how that works. But We've been all over the country, basically. Most of the north, we spent the north last winter in the north, and then traveled back and forth about three times from, I think it was September, August, till March. We covered, we don't go across the country from Ohio to Nebraska. We go from northern Washington to northern like Maine and Massachusetts. We just don't know anything in between, apparently. So we appreciate your prayers. And I got to meet some more folks than halfway. Met a guy in Nebraska last year, and I'm going to try that. So I need to call him too. We can get something going up there. But pretty sharp guy, and get to meet a lot of folks, a lot of good people. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to folks that really tend to be discouraged about things politically. But I think that's just the way things are going to go and going to have to go, even though it's aggravating. And I think you ought to fight it every step you can and resist that downturn. There's nothing wrong with doing that in that regard. But you got to realize the fact that somebody's in control of things that you don't want to run across too hard. But you should fight it every bit of the way. But God has a hand in things, I think, and it's gonna surprise us when we get to heaven to find out what exactly is going on. It'll be a little aggravating. We saw a movie last night. That's what's that one called? America, what would the world be without her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that one's worth looking at. That's a very interesting movie. It's done very well, and has a very everybody should be watching that one. Yeah. A lot of folks should be watching that one. It's kind of interesting how that works out. But anyway, we're glad we're saved still. Can't change that, amen.
Amen.
They can do what they want to do. They're trying to get rid of God. They think they're God, and they want to get rid of God. They, the people that run things and try to cause things to happen against America, they just don't like us because they say, well, you weren't based on Christianity. You'd have a hard time proving that if you read history. Now, if you don't read history, then, of course, you can say what you want to say. But it's pretty obvious that God did something to get us here and keep us here. And so, basically, I thank God for that. Take your Bibles. Let's see where we're going to go here tonight. And we'll try to do something intelligent. That's not common with me, but we'll try to do something that gives evidence of good sense somewhere. Take your Bibles. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Get John chapter 6, if you would, please. Both Mark and John, chapter 6. Got to have two fingers. They're pretty close to each other, so they shouldn't be hard to find. They're both in the New Testament. Okay. And I don't have a hard time. No. Thanks, Bard. Thank. Okay, here we go. Mark chapter 6. I know it's in here. There it is. It was the last time I read it. This isn't, I didn't change Bibles. But John chapter 6, if you got that. And let's see here. Come down to about verse 5. It says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth that prophet that should come into the world. Back in Mark chapter 6. And we want to come down through here a little bit. No, that's five. Let's try six. Six looks better. And towards the end of the chapter here, same instance, same circumstance, just reads a little differently. And let's see, that's in verse 31. Now let's start in verse 35. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? And go and see." When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and when they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and when the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. They that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. I read those two just to see a couple differences in there, but this account of the feeding of the 5,000 is in all 4 Gospels, which makes it unusual, because not all Gospels don't often have everything they have. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we call those the Synoptic Gospels because they're similar, but John's very different. And there's another account feeding 7,000, and it's very similar to this one. Feeding 4,000, and it's very similar to this one, and so much so that they're about the same thing, except, of course, they take a little differently, but that's a little less. But he does the same thing, basically. So there's 7 accounts of this in the Scriptures, in the Gospels. Now, anything that occurs that often in the Bible is significant, very significant, because God only repeats himself a couple times about things. And he did it here 7 times, so I think we ought to look at that. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Once again, I pray for your grace and mercy. And dear Father, we need your presence. We thank you that we have it. And Lord, we need the filling of your Spirit and the confidence we can have in that. And Lord, help us now to understand these matters. And Lord, help me to be an encouragement to these folks in the way that you would have them to be encouraged. And we thank you as always in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to notice right off the bat that both the Lord and the disciples recognize the need. It's a very interesting thing that very often we as people understand what has to be done. And it's very interesting that we'll oftentimes bring that to God. Now you have one instance here where the Lord said to feed them, another instance where you have it look like the disciples brought it up. And they probably noticed it, as far as that's concerned, probably understood that. And it's interesting how that they come to the Lord and they tell him that he needs to take care of these folks. Amen? Like he didn't know that. We're often telling God what God already knows. I don't know about you, but sometimes I catch myself praying about things, and I start telling God what's going on, and he says, like, I don't know that. Well, I understand that he knows that. I just didn't think he was paying attention. Amen? So I thought I'd remind him about it so he could get with the program. Amen? It just looks like he's not dealing with it like he should. But the Lord has a different perspective on that than I do, thankfully, because he understands things far better than I do. When you pray, you got to realize the fact that God already knows what you're looking for. I've done this. I've actually prepared my prayer ahead of time so I could present it just so and make sure that I got it just right. Amen? And felt very foolish doing it. Suddenly I just looked up. I said, so you're listening, right? Kind of an odd way of going about things. So I stopped doing that. I just start talking. And it's a strange thing how that works. But notice that they both understood. Now, the Lord commanded them to take care of the problem. They told him to send them away. They told him, just let them take care of the problem themselves. Just, you know, because we don't have any idea of how to go about fixing this thing. Make sure that they are able to take care of themselves. It's interesting that we oftentimes look at something that's impossible to do, utterly out there, and God says, no, that's what I want you to take care of. And you look at it and you're thinking, there's no way I can. How often have we had that put on us? The Lord says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to teach all nations. Really? Now, when the disciples were told that back early on, they got pretty enthusiastic about it and started after it. Amen? Mm. We haven't done it yet. But Paul did say that the gospel had gone into all the world at one point, and we appreciate that, but it didn't hit everybody like it needed to. And it's a lot of times there's issues, but many, many, many times it's because the brethren seem not to understand the fact that all that God expects of us is impossible. What he expects of us is beyond our power to do all the time. He says we're supposed to understand the scripture. Now, he gave us the Holy Spirit. You ever tried to read the Bible before you're saved? You weren't going to get anywhere with that. This just wasn't going to work, amen? The Holy Spirit moved in. Suddenly, it makes sense. And when you try to tell somebody how much good sense it makes, they look at you rather funny. Like, really? No, it doesn't, actually, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. The Lord tells us to give and to give like a post. I'll talk more about that through the message. But the idea, oftentimes we see it's impossible. The Lord says we're to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Now, aren't you glad God doesn't remember your sin?
Yes.
Aren't you glad before you're saved, you'll never see him? Aren't you glad that when you hit the judgment seat of Christ, he judges your works and not your sins?
Mm.
It would be tough if he judged your sins.
Mm. Oh boy.
Mm. But he's judging your works. Yep. It's a big difference. Yep. All the time, most of the time, in fact, pretty consistently throughout the scripture, the things God expects of us are impossible and the problems are insurmountable. In other words, on our own strength, we're not going to do them. The Lord didn't tell them to do this by themselves. He knew what he would do.
Mm.
Now, that's the beautiful thing about being saved. You have a God that already knows how to handle everything.
Amen.
And he is never weak anywhere.
Amen.
And everything he commands of us is possible, not because of us, but because of him.
Amen.
And we find how a lot of this works in the context of this circumstance here. So, the concern is there. And then we have a rather impossible circumstance. He says, I want you to feed them. Now, it's interesting how this goes. They get a little sarcastic with him. I read it sarcastically. Because can you imagine being told that if you were standing there and there's 5,000 folks hanging around that need to be fed? He says, you guys can't handle it, can't you? Are you kidding? Don't you feel like that sometimes when God asks you to do something? Witness to these folks. I want to witness these folks. Pray. I pray, but that's not easy to do. He said, well, do it. Lord commands us to very often to do the impossible. You see, if your Christian life was such that you could live the Christian life like you're supposed to and follow God like you're supposed to without him, then there's no testimony of his presence in you. And far too many people live just like that. Far too many Christians just go so far and then stop because they can't go any farther simply because of the fact they don't know how or what to do and they don't have any means or understanding to do it. And instead of, by faith, doing the things they're supposed to do and trusting God to use them, they just stop and they figure it's impossible, so we're not going to do that. You have to learn to live on God's resources, not your own. Live on God's means, not yours. So he asks them to feed them. And then he says this. He says, go find out what you got. Now, it's interesting. This is really interesting. Because they had nothing. Amen? What they brought, 12 grown men, what they brought to the Lord when he asked them was somebody else's stuff. Now, think about that a while. They didn't have anything to give him. He said, you feed them. We don't have a piece of bread. But we go find somebody else's. Now, you say, well, I'd love to find somebody else's stuff. I could use that all the time. Amen? In other words, God will provide in ways that are not typical. In ways that we don't expect. And the Lord says, go find what you find out what you have. So they come back and say, we've got five loaves and two fishes. Now somebody went to the young man and got that from him. And I can see Philip coming back and saying, come here, guys, come here, come here. All right, now, we got five loaves and two fishes. You know what he's going to do, don't you? He's gonna hand this out. And we don't have anything to eat either. See, when they said, send them away so they can eat, said, we would like a bite ourselves. It's been 2 or 3 days since they've eaten as well. Hey, Pete, you grab one loaf, take half a fish, put that in your pocket. It's not much, but we'll have something. You see, he didn't ask for some of what they had. He wanted all of what they had.
Yes. Mm.
And far too often in our Christian lives, we'll give him some of what we have because we're going to have to take care of ourselves too, amen? Mm-hmm. But that wasn't an option here. Imagine if they had showed up with a broken one fish in half and four loaves. We made a mistake. It was actually four loaves and one and a half fish. How that would have worked with the Lord, amen? Not at all. Not at all. You see, we're of the nature to take care and protect ourselves from problems, when in reality, God will more than take care of us. When they got done, they had 12. Now, let's see, 1, 2, 3. 12 apostles, weren't there? Mm-hmm. Baskets full.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? He wants all of what we have.
Amen.
We often give in a way that is basically comfortable, acceptable to us. We'll do for God what looks reasonable to us. We'll walk with Him as far as it's acceptable to us. But He says, I want it all. You've all seen the game on television, Texas Hold'em, amen? And now the expression all in is common. It's a poker game. You haven't seen it? How do you live? You're not missing anything, by the way, so don't worry about it. You're not missing anything at all. A bunch of idiots sitting around smoking cigarettes talking about how cool they are. It's actually considered a sport. Which shows you how desperate we are for things on television. No, I don't watch it. It's just kind of stupid. But the thing is, I've seen it, and I just... But the expression, all in, is where that comes from. And they're always, I'm all in. It means they got the cards, they're going to all in. It means they're going for broke. More Christians need to be all in. More Christians need to put it all on the wire. More Christians have to realize that who God is and what He is and accept what they have in Christ and give it all. Now, I'm not suggesting you empty your bank accounts. I'm not talking about that. God's not that worried about your money. He wants your heart, He wants your mind, He wants your soul, He wants your spirit. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. So that's a command. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a complete denial of self. It's come to the place where God has all you are, and you're not holding back anything. And He can do with it as He wishes. Because if you give it to Him, you don't have any strings attached. He'll cut that pretty quick. And if you have it, He'll figure that out too. Now, they gave Him everything. They collected it from somebody else and went through there and brought it to Him. The concept of how that works is that this was not done by faith. This was just a function of offering God what they had. They had no idea what He was going to do. But He did quite a work. Many theologians say that everybody actually just pulled out their own lunch. And that's how it worked, amen? Then why did they give it away at the end to collect 12 baskets full? Why did they do that? They brought their own lunch, dimwit. So there's just no logic to most people's arguments. Now notice that God always acts according to His principles. He said He needed something done. He then put that on his men, but he didn't leave them high and dry. Because God's not like that. He doesn't ask something of us and then walk away. He doesn't expect us to follow his commands while he sits back and just watches how we do it. Taps his foot when we don't do it well and, oh, man, that's a disaster. I don't, Gabriel, I think we have to. No, we're not going to. We'll just let him go. He don't let you do that. He's right there all the time.
Amen.
He just expects you to give him what you have so he can then do as he needs to get done. He doesn't ask you for any more than what you have. We often think, well, I've got to wait to get that before I can talk to God. No, you don't. He asks you what you have, not what you might have. Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's either 8 or 9, that God accepts that according to what a man hath, not according to that he hath not. Yes. So he accepts what you have. That's all he asks for.
Amen.
But we're so tight, we don't even give him that. And he's not going to destroy you because of it. I almost thought this. I didn't really. I'm just going to use the expression tithing for a little bit. Although I have a different perspective on things. But I remember one time I was having some trouble. I was down in school. This is when I was just after I had been saved. I didn't know anything about giving. And I was having trouble. I was whining to the friend of mine who happened to be the treasurer. And telling them exactly how this, every time I turn around, I got to go to see the dentist now, and I make enough money to live on, but I never have any because of this, that, and the other thing, and I could pay my bills and so on and so forth, and I just, car problems, etc. There's always money going out somewhere, and I don't understand why that is, etc., etc. And the guy walked behind me, and he just leaned over and he said, "You're not tithing."
Yes.
And it's like he's hit me in the back with his hand. So I'd never thought about that. And I thought,
the treasurer would know.
It was why. I just started giving then. I just started giving. And I'll tell you what, it's a blessing to give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd already given God everything I was, but he didn't have what I owned. It's an odd thing how that works. But when you do that, it turns into quite a blessing. We could not sustain ourselves under any circumstances through our lives. I was talking to a fellow who was in my church at one point, and he was complaining about not having any money, and he actually had a job. He's making pretty good money. And I said, you know, if you were raising 4 kids and what I'm raising them on, you'd have a heart attack. Because that's just the way it went. But we always did all right. And that's just the way it works out. I was amazed at how God provided for us. Now, God acts according to his principles. He acts according to his purpose. And he acts according to his person. If you can ever understand what God's principles are, and his main principle is faith in this day and time. His other principle is obedience. Of course, the scripture is absolute. If you understand God's principles, and you live according to those principles, based upon forgiveness, love, grace, and these matters that are principles of God, you might be surprised at how God works in your life. You might be surprised at what God does in your life, and how you can live your life. Then, if you'll learn about him, his person, who he is and what he is, he's holy, he's righteous, he's just, he's generous, he's gracious, and understand his person and what that means. And by the way, when you get saved, the Bible says in John 17 that this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and thy Son, Jesus Christ. Eternal life is to know God. You have been given the opportunity as Christians to have a knowledge and understanding in a relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. He chose to let that be. He wants that. He looks for that. And that's why he saved you. And gave you a spirit, separated you from sin, gave you the new birth, and did various things for you. It's so he could then fellowship with you. He cleaned you up.
Glory to God.
plural. So he can hang out with you, as you can hang out with him. Now, why would he do that? It doesn't make any sense to me. Has the president, the mayor, the governor, rich businessmen, have they sought you out to have a relationship with you?
No.
You know who they go after? People that can make them better.
Correct.
Are you going to make God better?
No.
You can't improve on him anyway. But what does he get out of having you around? Trouble, aggravation, frustration, grief, whining, complaining, bellyaching about everything. That's what he gets. And half the time we don't believe what he says. How long would you hang around somebody like that if they did that to you? 20 minutes? 30? Maybe you get an hour?
Five.
Think about how long he hangs out with you. Yeah. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's who he is. See, that's what he does. That's why he does it. He acts according to his purpose. Most important thing you can find in life is what the will of God is, both for the world, the circumstances of nations, for whatever, and especially for your own life. Because you need to find God's purpose for your existence and understand it and live according to it. If you will, you might be surprised at how things work in your life. Because God does nothing without purpose. Nothing. You're looking around. You look at the... evolution's really a losing cause.
Amen.
Why, if evolution's so, why are fish different colors? Why are birds different colors? Why are there flowers? When did the flowers think, oh, I need to be red? Really? Well, everything evolved from a gooey mass, didn't it? Where do flowers come from?
That's right.
Nobody, you don't eat them, do you?
Some do.
There are some that are edible, no doubt about it, but for the most part, you don't eat flowers. The deer do, but you don't. And they like roses, by the way. So the thing is, what's that about? God likes beauty. They're there for our enjoyment. He likes beautiful things, so he makes things beautiful. And we like that too. You've got to find out what God's purposes are and why he does things and live accordingly. He says he's given us literally all things to enjoy. Find out why he gave you his Holy Spirit. Not just so you can feel good. Some folks think, well, that's just so I can have a good time. No, that's not what it's about. There are great feelings connected with the Spirit. That's not what it's about. Find out what this purpose is for you in your life. Why does he purpose? We understand husbands and wives and so on and so forth, that sort of thing, but why is there love involved? Couldn't you have kids without it? Keep the human race going? Sure. I mean, he has a purpose in everything. Find out what that is. Live accordingly. You might be surprised how it works out. Here, in this context of things, he wanted to feed people. He wanted to prove something. He wanted to show people something. He wanted them to have them understand something. They got it. The apostles didn't. They got it. They said, this is the man from God. Who else can feed 5,000 people? They wanted to make him king. You'll get far in life if you learn how to feed people. Two things you can do for people they'll love you for. Make them laugh and feed them.
Yeah.
Period. That's how it works. Back in the Roman Empire, the famous statement by Cleopatra, it said we don't have any food. They said let them eat cake. The philosophy when Rome was going down was give them bread and circuses. Entertain them and feed them.
Yeah.
And they won't bother anybody. I think that's going on today.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Ooh. That's going on today.
Ooh.
Oh, you gotta be at the football game instead of in church.
You've got more entertainment today than I ever remember as a kid. Mm-hmm. And people don't entertain themselves anymore. They don't do anything themselves. They always have to be some input from someplace. Music, video is constant. Yeah. I have a phone I can get videos on. Mm-hmm. I can watch football games on my phone. Mm-hmm. Basketball games. I can watch movies on my phone. Who needs that? You can be entertained 24 hours a day. You can entertain yourself in your sleep if you need to. And boy, look around. How many restaurants do you see around? People eat all. People eat all the time. We have to restrain ourselves most of the time from the food we're offered. I don't have a problem. I understand why they do it. I appreciate that. But good night, we'd be the size of a house. We'd be able to get in the door if we ate what people hit us all the time. You don't have to eat all the time. The Bible recommends that you fast now and then, but that's another message altogether. But God acts according to his principles, his purpose. He fed them. They got full. Okay. Praise the Lord. I mean, it was an all-you-can-eat buffet. Here's five loaves and two fishes. That's all you can eat. Notice this too about the circumstances. The disciples brought what they had to him. He took it. Bible indicates the fact that he blessed it, looked up to heaven, blessed it, and broke it, and distributed it to the disciples, and they distributed it to the people. They took what they had, gave it to him, and he had them then do the work that was needed to get it to the people. So you give God what you have, and then he puts you to work with what you gave him. Isn't that weird? Well, you could have gone to work without that, couldn't you? How far do you think they'd have gotten if they just took those five loaves and two fishes and started trying to feed 5,000 people? About two guys. If you hadn't eaten for 2 or 3 days, you might eat at least a loaf apiece. And fishes, they wouldn't have gone that far. That's how far they would have gotten. But by running it back to God, through Jesus Christ, they were able to feed 5,000 people. The multiplicity of what God does with things is unbelievable.
Amen.
The way he expands things, what he accomplishes with the little that you give him is amazing. And it happens all the time. The Bible indicates the fact, talk about the law of sowing and reaping, I preached upon that. I haven't talked to y'all about it, but it's a common thing. And if you put one kernel of corn in the ground, you'll get hundreds back. Mm. Put one soybean. By the way, that's all they grow, is soybeans and corn. Every now and then they grow sunflowers. They, meaning the big farms. We travel back and forth across the country. We travel through cornfields and soybean, cornfield, soybean, soybean, cornfield, cornfield, soybean. Good night. And that's just on I-80. I don't know what's going on I-90. Oh, yeah, that's going on I-90 too, yeah. But God's principles, I bet if he gets it, he'll make it a lot. Another thing, they told him this. He said, have the men sit down. And then it's, why? Wouldn't it have been easier if they just stood there in line and walked through?
No.
He said, have them sit down. In ranks. Sit down and order. 5,000 men. Why did he do that? Because God likes things ordered. He likes things like they're supposed to be. Have you looked at the stars lately? 50 years ago, were they different? What holds the stars in place?
He does.
God does.
Amen.
Grass is still green, isn't it? Well, most of the time. What color is supposed to be, that's what we color it when we draw pictures. The rain comes down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then it goes up, then it comes down, goes up, and comes down, goes up, it comes down, goes up. Been doing it for a long time. God likes things in order. He has it set up to work. The world will be here a long time after we leave it. Until he blows it up. Because he set it ordered. The sun We can predict when the sun's coming up tomorrow. We can predict when the sun's coming up in 5 years, or 10, or 20, or 40. Mm-hmm. We can predict the day and the time the sun will rise that day. Why? Because it's all very ordered. Your bodies are designed in a very specific way. And you thank God they're ordered. Amen. You can do things in your body and work things and so on and so forth to get back into order. If you're not feeling well, if things aren't working right. And you can do things to disrupt the order. God doesn't like it when you do things that disrupt the order. He has an order for your Christian walk. He has an order for your church. He has a way that you do things. And you do them that way, they work. You don't, they don't work. That's just the way it goes. God had him sit down because he likes things in order. Too often we as good Baptists, I don't know about your group, but the ones I hang out with, think that it doesn't matter how we do it. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You might do things differently in one group from another group, but he likes it ordered. The modern charismatic movement is not ordered. It's very arbitrary. It's all about something we don't know anything about, apparently. Self or something like that. But God's not crazy about that sort of thing. He fed 5,000. He had them do the work. He had them hand it out. They made the distribution. I don't know how it went. Nobody knows really how it went. But if the disciples see the disciples walk up to the guy and say, all right, here you go. Here, have a half a loaf and here's some fish. How much you want? All right, when you get done with that, you're going to be full. When you get done with that, then we get, oh, and hand it to the guy behind me. And they go to the next guy, there's more. If they were sitting ranks by 50 or 100, you have 12 guys, the front row is going to be dealt with, what, 8 times? Each one gets 8 guys in the front and a half. And then they go back and back and back and back. Don't you know those guys got done eating that stuff and they said, here you go, have some on the pole. And the next guy. Don't you know there got to be a murmur? Really? This is pretty wild. Oh, I just got done eating this and I've got some more. I broke this bread. And I can see the apostles going, we're breaking the bread. Here you go. Okay, here you go. Here you go. Where's this coming from? God does things very unusually. It's hard to tell sometimes how it works out. But he has us involve ourselves with it so we can see it. And so we can understand who he is and what he is. And how he does things. The disciples make the distribution. Then the Lord got done. He said, all right, wrap it up. Get the leftovers. Now, apparently other folks had baskets around, but they didn't have any in them. So they found another few more baskets and so forth. They went around and gathered up 12 baskets full. 12 baskets full. Each one of them had some. I'll bet you, though, that little lad went home with a good pile of food. But they didn't forget about him either. Don't worry. God doesn't take and not give. And he just got 12 baskets. Probably said, give it to the kids so he can take them home. Those folks probably need it. You see, it seems like a small thing, a little thing in there. God does a miracle. Okay, wonderful. That's amazing. But you'll find in this how you're supposed to live and how you're supposed to behave and what God will do in your life when you allow him and when you give him what he wants from you. And you'll see what he can do with it to accomplish the purpose that he has you on earth for. Which is to win everybody to Christ. Which is to have every nation be affected. Which is to have an effect on your neighbors, on your friends, on your family. Our effect is weak. Because we try to have an effect by ourselves, by our argument. I find myself trying to persuade people to get saved. Fooey on that. If they're not convicted about their sins, why bother them? So we need to get filled with the Spirit because that's how God does things. And walk in the Spirit because that's what God expects of us so God can accomplish his purposes. We need to find out what he wants and follow his principles and what he says and do it the way he laid it out, in order, according to him. And things will work.
Amen.
But generally, that's not what's happening. Generally, that's not the way it goes. We're too wrapped up in ourselves, too wrapped up in what we want, what we like. We're too afraid, we're too intimidated, we're too taken with life and the world and the things about us. We're too busy, we're too concerned about consequences that we may involve ourselves with if we do what God says, etc., etc. We're always judging the circumstances instead of living by faith. And God wants us to live by faith. And when we do, that's the principle he laid out, then he can work. You see, Christ died for all our sins, didn't he? Every man walking, every woman walking, every child on this earth has their sins paid for, do they not?
Yes.
Do you realize that that won't make any difference in anything if they don't accept what God did? It's there. Yes. It just has to be taken.
Yes.
It's available. Yes. You just have to accept it by faith. Yes. But there's way too much going on. Listen, that doesn't change after you're saved. You got that one in. That's good. Mm-hmm. But you still have the same approach and the same attitude towards God you had before you're saved. Because you're still doing things by yourself and on your own. That has to change.
Yes.
He proved it when you got saved that it could change. Man, that day I got saved, I thought, well, where have I been? Where has this been all my life? I walked into something that blew my mind. And since I've been saved, I'm not sure I got over it yet, but want to. I began to realize the fact that's how God does things. You believe him a little bit, and he does a lot. Very important to get that, realize that. That little instance here with the feeding of the 5,000, very clear about how God wants things accomplished. And if you'll get in line with that, when I say you can make a difference, he'll use you the way he wants to. He can't overcome anybody's will, so you can witness to people until you're blue in the face. I've sat and talked to folks that were under conviction. I knew they were under conviction. I understood they were under conviction because the Holy Spirit was all over me. I knew God was there, and they didn't get saved. I said, well, you've done what you had to do. And I told him, I said, you don't realize it right now, but you are under such conviction, it bothers you because God's dealing with you. He may never do this again. I'm not saying you'll never get saved. I'm just saying he may never do this again. You may never have this conviction again. You need to get saved. Well, I'll think about it. Well, yeah. No, you won't. You'll forget about it. You can't overcome somebody's will, but you can control your own. And that's all he asks. That you do what he asks, the way he wants it done. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for these things. Appreciate your mercy. Thank you for your blessings upon us, your kindness. Thank you for the great illustration you give us about what you can do. It is amazing. Help us, God, to understand it, to apply it, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, folks.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's be a blessing to the bods tonight. Amen. And before we give tonight for the Bob's ministry, Lord laid something on my heart while preacher was going. Anybody who's here tonight who wants to come to the restaurant, it will be paid for. So I don't want it up in the hands, but what we're going to do is we're going to play adopt a plate tonight. So if you want to go, but you can't afford to, not going to embarrass anybody, you let me know after we sing and pray. Father, thank you so much tonight for Jesus Christ and the ability that he has to multiply the seed sown. Lord, I thank you that you don't need much, Lord. You just need a little bit to work with, and oh boy. I think of the church website that we put up in May. And oh God, the first day we had 12 visits. And this past month of October, 15,000 visits. Lord, you multiply. That word multiplicity that the preacher used. Oh, how you multiply when we put that step of faith forward. We thank you for that tonight, Lord, and we ask that you would bless us as we give now to the Bob's ministry. And we thank you, Lord, for souls that are getting saved through his ministry, for saints that are being edified, churches are being strengthened, the work is being done. And we just thank you for his faithfulness, his steadfastness. We pray you bless him and multiply, supply his needs. And Father, continue to use him till that trumpet blows. And we thank you for having him tonight. Thank you for bringing him all this way. And oh God, that you would bless him and Debbie with traveling mercies and use them in greater capacity, Lord, like he's never dreamt of, that he'd see just incredible miracles taking place of souls being saved and Jesus Christ being exalted through his ministry. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you as you give. Oh, I can't give him a gospel track, can I? I'm going to put a gospel track in the plate for you, bro.
Pastor, do you have
the
gospel
practice? I do. Yes. So let's stand, folks. Let's stand and open up to 240. Closing hymn tonight. And the words say it all. I surrender all. That's all we need to do.
Yep.
Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. plain. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to his name. To be in the Lord's house with you all tonight. I tell you, there's nothing like being with God's people. Amen? Amen. I love it. I love it. I love getting together and worshiping the Lord together. What a blessing, Brother Bud. And continue to pray for his ministry. Bear much fruit. And to continue on till the trumpet blows. I'm going to ask Brother Kyle to dismiss us in prayer. Don't forget, we're meeting at the 99 restaurant on Hooksett Road. Hooksett Road. Praise the Lord. Brother Kyle.
Lord, we thank you so much that we've had this opportunity to gather, Lord, to hear your word, to get some understanding of what it is you expect of us. Though most of the time, none of us know. But to understand, Lord, that if we're willing to give our all to you, there's nothing that you can't provide us that we can't use to further your work, to further our life, and to just continue our lives in a manner you'd have us to, Lord. As long as we maintain that order of existence that you lay before us and ask us to do, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you'd burden us to walk in the light of your love, to be with you, Lord, to have you with us, and just, Lord, to acknowledge your every existence throughout every day of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We pray, Lord, you'd be with us and guide us. You'd keep us safe, give us safe travels, be with the bards as they travel around, Lord, and give them a safe journey to wherever the next stop is after they leave this area. We ask you, Lord, to bless their ministry as they bring your word to each and every soul that comes to hear you. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.